Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Tonight, we're going to talk about an interesting that Jesus would call us out on tolerance. That it's a characteristic of a teacher of God, because this is an obvious characteristic that is in a direct opposition to the ego's agenda. You see, God is another word for truth. God is another word for love, for abiding, extending love. And so if you're a teacher of God, then you would certainly be tolerant. You would not be in objection or correction of another. See, it's opposite of what the ego. The ego forms opinions for itself protection based on fear. And for us to awaken, to be extensions of God, to have our mind healed away from separation back to union, purification is necessary first. Miracle Principle 7. Miracle Principle 7 on page 3 says, miracles are a right. Everyone's right. But purification is necessary first. And that's because the ego is already in place of your consciousness and blocking your awareness of God, of truth, of love. You actually... I know these are hard words to hear, but I think maybe you know that they're true. You actually reject love. Abiding as an ego in a body, true love with a capital L, is sharing and selflessness. It's selflessness. And ego is self-fullness. So to actually return yourself to unity and to love, you would let go of yourself instantly, like you would let go of a hot potato burning your hand. I'm not going to hold on to a hot potato burning my hand. I love that analogy. It's so true. But we recognize that your place, your even your very survival, actually, is not in this separate existence, and that all the discomfort you've ever had, or all the pining for comfort that you've ever had, was due to your heavy belief in the body and in the defense and the protection of the ego. We're healing this. We're healing this deep-seated belief that you're personally carrying. Like I've said before, the problem is that you know something with your heart and your mind. You know something deeply that's not true. And so you're your own block. Your beliefs are blocking you from the very freedom you seek. Your own beliefs are blocking you from seeing yourself, as they're blocking you from seeing others as their true form. But that's what we're healing. And these 10 characteristics of the teacher of God that we're going through in the manual for teachers right now, these are wonderful summary of what would it be like to actually be loving, to abide as loving, to not be in competition or argument with another, because you had the perspective of the Holy Spirit. What would that be like? That's the gift that we're receiving as we go through these 10 wonderful attributes. Starts with trust.
Man.
All of these are based on trust. Yes, Don.
I thought you might bring up, when you talked about purification, I came across something today where Jesus was saying, as you said, purification is necessary first. But he also says, you can't purify yourself. And he said, in fact, if you try to purify yourself, you're kind of getting in the way of my doing my job. Jesus said, that's my job, Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
And and so I truly trust and believe that. It seems like, however, it's essential to allow that to happen, to allow to turn away from ego and turn towards spirit. And I guess that's our job, is to be willing to accept, to hear, pay attention, and follow correction.
At least try it, Don.
Yeah.
At least to find a quiet moment in your mind where you try it. He knows that it's crazy from your perspective to let go of everything you know. He knows. But he's asking you, he says, just for a moment, try following the words written here. Try following the heart that is awakening in you. Try following me, says Jesus. He says, my will and God's are united, and I know you. So it's like, wow, how do you follow a guide? You find a guide, you want to go where the guide has been. That's their job. Jesus is saying, it's my job. Do I know what page that's on? Hang on a minute. Don't recall for sure. There's a wonderful little sentence he says. He says, I will free you as I freed myself. He knows what's one mind. So he can already see the dots to be connected. God, is that on 119? Well, let's not waste time trying to find it since I don't have it in my head yet. But it's a beautiful sentence. It's a beautiful promise. And so that's what Jesus is actually. It's no longer a man, but Jesus is a concept of the bridge between the man like you and me and Emily. A human that's walking around and talking and feeling, actually feeling quite separate. Feeling like you want to survive too. Personally, you really feel it. So there's the rub. What you're trying to survive with is an illusion. It's true. You do. And you do exist. You actually do exist. Course in Miracles is not denied that you exist. But it's introducing to you the idea of dreaming an illusion, that you are not what you appear to be. You do exist. I love this sentence on page, I think it's 257. Hang on a second. Let me get that first. 257 in the text. It's just a short sentence, but it just means so much. It's part of the promise of guidance and knowledge and authority from which this book came, that it could say this. But look what it says on 257, bottom of the page. I just love this. I love this sentence. It's paragraph 17, bottom of the page. And look at sentence 6. He says, you dwell. Just stop right there. He says, wait a minute. Before you read the rest of the sentence, just look at those two words. You dwell. Isn't that recognition of you? It doesn't say you don't dwell. It starts with the positive affirmation of your existence. You dwell. And then the correction. You dwell not here. Comma. But, and I'll repeat it, you dwell in eternity. Hello. This is a perspective of one of the mind who has walked as you have walked in separation, but is now healed and has written, passed this information through the channels into the illusion. And is reminding you and comforting you, actually, I think it's so comforting. Not to dismiss you and say, look, you're a complete lie. Give it up, the sooner the better. Not what he's saying. He's acknowledging that you dwell. Not here, where there's death and tragedy and disappointment and chaos, and where the word love seems to have an ephemeral passing meaning. The promises of love, and yet we can feel it, and yet it gets dashed. That's why I thought there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different love. I got to wake up to what is real love. And thank God this book is saying, yes, yes, there's real love. It's not what you have made it out to be. Yes, you dwell, but not here, comma, but in eternity. Beautiful, powerful word. It's a meditation. And that one word is a meditation in itself. The Course describes eternity. It says it actually means there is no time. My ego used to think eternity means a lot of time. Forever, keep going and going and going and going. No, that's not what Course means by eternity. It's not a lot of hours and a lot of days. This is also a wonderful awakening, isn't it? Eternity means that there is no time, either forwards or backwards. Eternity. There's no time in eternity. You got to ponder that and own that if you haven't already. Because you know.
You just said something that there's no time in eternity. But that means eternity is different than not having time.
That's right.
It doesn't mean we've defined eternity. It just means we know one characteristic. It doesn't have time in it. Is that true?
It dismisses the limits of time. Okay. Eternity. Just like the word infinite. In meaning canceling, meaning non, finite meaning definable or sized. Infinite, non-sizable, non-measurable. It's not the dimension we know here in this world. Everything here has got to fit on the ball, right? On Earth. And if you want to go beyond Earth, you start using some of these fancy measurement tools, but it's all got to be form and definable. But infinite and eternal, these would not be visible things. These would be spiritual things. This is why we have to have a spiritual discussion and understanding to what's being said. Yes, Ross, please.
Yeah, I mean, I really had to sit and ponder eternity and realize that, well, part of the equation is that since there's no change, we're unchangeable, that there's nothing to measure in terms of, oh, yes, I'm young and then I get old. No. And the mountains, the mountains don't crumble in age. The tides don't. None of this stuff happens. There is no change. So what is the point of time if there is no change? And then also there is no space. In other words, there's nowhere but here. So what would you take time to go anywhere if there's no space? So I really had to get into that whole flavor of eternity and what it means to be now with no change and no space. There's just being. So it is, like you say, it's worth really pondering the ramifications of eternity of no space and no change. Did I say that right?
And reconciling your apparent existence.
Yeah, you still exist.
So if it's eternal, right? You must be able to do it over and over and over and over and over, infinite number of times, infinite number of ways, if you so choose. Whatever you're experiencing at this level in this dream, if eternity is true and infinite is true, and you are a creator, this course claims you are, then the limits that the ego would ascribe to your experience must be removed. And a shortcut is eternity. A shortcut is infinity. A shortcut is the other half of this sentence. He says, you dwell not here, but in eternity. And the next sentence, number 7. You travel. Stop, stop, stop. You travel. Yes, you do. Yes, you travel. And then, but only in dreams. Making space. Making space. It's fine. Travel all you want, but you're actually safe at home. Your true nature is safe at home, and you're making up the travel. So it's not a sin. He just wants you to understand what you're actually doing so you can be free. You found a way to leave the safety of home and not feel free and not feel loving and not feel tolerant of everything. You found a way to be judgmental, thinking it'll make you happier. This is the only correction needed. Yes, Emily. Hang on a second. I got your mute. Go for it.
Thank you. I just want to share, that sounds like the Adam and Eve thing, you know, the leaving Garden of Eden thing.
And the prodigal son. Prodigal son was happy and safe at home, but he kind of got this itch, and he got half of his, you know, we can read, it's in A Course in Miracles on page 146, I think. Go look at page 146. I love this story. This is so apropos to what happened, what we're doing, what's going on in our adventure into separation. Nothing bad. No sin has occurred. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 4 on page 148? I'm going to disappear for a second. I got to turn something off.
I'll go. Listen to the story of the prodigal son and learn what God's treasure is and yours. This son of a loving father left his home and thought he had squandered everything for nothing of any value, although he had not understood its worthlessness at the time. He was ashamed to return to his father because he thought he had hurt him. Yet when he came home, the father welcomed him with joy, because the son himself was his father's treasure. He wanted nothing else. God wants his son because his son is his only treasure. For the next paragraph. And then it says, you want your creations as he wants his. Your creations are your gift to the Holy Trinity, created in gratitude for your creation. They do not leave you any more than you left your creator, but they extend your creation. God extended himself to you. Can the creations of God himself take joy in what is not real? And what is real except the creations of God and those that are created like his? Your creations love you as you love your Father for the gift of creation. There is no other gift that is eternal, and therefore there is no other gift that is true. How then can you accept anything else or give anything else and expect joy in return? And what else but joy would you want? You may neither yourself nor your function. made only the decision to be unworthy of both. Yet you cannot make yourself unworthy because you are the treasure of God, and what he values is valuable. There can be no question of its worth, because its value lies in God sharing himself with it and capturing his value forever. Your function is to add to God's treasure by creating yours. His will to you is his will for you. He would not withhold creation from you, because his joy is in it. You cannot find joy except as God does. His joy lay in creating you, and he extends his fatherhood to you so that you can extend yourself as he did. Now my question is, exactly what are ourselves in this eternity? I kept on reading. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I just pumped 3 gallons of water onto my kitchen floor during the meeting.
Oh, no.
Solve that later. Prodigal son. It's a beautiful little story, that paragraph 4. Left his home, squandered everything, found out it was for nothing. I had fun, went into town, spent it up, but it was really of nothing of value. And he thought, you know, back home on my father's farm, the servants have more than I do now. The pigs have more than I have. I will go back to the farm humbly and just take care of the pigs, and I'll be happier than out on my own, separate from my source. Goes back expecting to be find unhappiness from his source and his father. I says, no, I'm so glad you've returned. I couldn't be happier that now you've owned your birthright. You have actually been born now completely, knowing the gift that I have bestowed on you in your creation. You now know. Your brother here, who never questioned, he never ventured, he doesn't know as much as you know. Welcome home, son. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful representation of the happiness that you would be greeted with as you return from your adventure into separation. You do travel, but in dreams, all safe at home. Jacqueline.
So I just had a funny thought. So, you know, you said the son that didn't leave home. So the part of us that's still in heaven won't know as much as we know once we go back or something like that. I don't know. That just seems funny.
Hey.
Right?
Yeah, see, that's right, Jacqueline. not all of you went into separation. Yes. You have much sharing to do. You have much sharing to do. You have much loving to do. You have much creating to do. You've blocked yourself from creation and from loving in this adventure into separation. Not a sin. Hell of an adventure. Blocked yourself from love. Starting to suck. I'm going home. Are you with me? Yeah. But if you are suddenly to be awakened, as the Course says, it would most likely not be helpful, because it would put you into a state of fear, which is the exact opposite of our curriculum. If you're suddenly to be shown your true nature and how false this one is, the shock would probably put, because I told you, you really know something that's not true. Do you feel the, what's the word? Paradox in that? Do you feel that? You know something that's not true. And this book and Jesus knows that you know something that's not true, and knows how precious what you think you know is to you. Do you feel that? So that's why it's that's why it's 1,300 pages, and that's why there's so much love in this book. Caring for your illusion. There's no hurry. In eternity, there's no hurry. Your spirit, your heart, recovery of your heart and your awareness of oneness is the only agenda. It's the most important thing. And by all means, let's go the easy way without fear and without attack, and keep as much love thoughts possible from any adventure you've ever had. Part of this book says the Holy Spirit will keep for you all your loving thoughts as your creations. It's beautiful, huh? Yes, Lillian.
Well, when I was reading the part about the fear of redemption, that really got to me deeply, because I was thinking about my daughter, who is just absolutely the most lovable person I've ever met. And she wants only to love me. I can tell what she wants. And she forgives me when I, so fast, and I know that's what she wants. So what I realized is that just about the time that I'm getting pure love from her, I say something that makes her upset. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was, I don't want to get too close to pure love. As much as I say I do, part of me doesn't. And that made me feel so bad when I realized that I could always stand it.
Yep. That's because the ego's love comes with loss. The belief in loss is very, very deep. That's why Miracle Principle 7 is so critical. It says miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. And that's what a miracle is for, is to correct your mind so that you can keep your miracles. You can keep your forgiveness. So, you know, this is the gentle way, but it's the, this is the only way you can own it, your freedom. You can own your freedom.
I don't want to be so close to Susan that all I had was love for her. That just broke my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was the one that was separating us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it easier to say these words, I hate, than I love? Busted.
I think that's true, but I hate the word hate.
I know. I hate the haters. Isn't that a bumper sticker in Boulder Creek? Hate the haters. Wait a minute. That means you're a hater. Yes. But that's what we're here to do. We're here to bust the ego. And one of the ways we're going to do it is we're going to open our minds on page 12 in the Manual for Teachers. Turn to page 12 in the Manual for Teachers. Karen, you going to read that paragraph for us? It's one paragraph. What do you think? You got it? All right, I got you.
I've been practicing.
Hey, bring it. Bring it. Tolerance.
God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, for to judge is to assume a position you do not have. Judgment without self-deception is impossible. Judgment implies that you have been deceived in your brothers, not by, but in your brothers.
Nice, Kenny.
Now then, could you not have been deceived in yourself? Judgment implies a lack of trust, and trust remains the bedrock of the teacher of God's whole thought system. Let this be lost, and all his learnings go. Without judgment are all things equally acceptable, for who could judge otherwise? Without judgment are all men brothers, for who is there who stands apart? Judgment destroys honesty and shatters trust. No teacher of God can judge and hope to learn.
Thank you, Kenny. That was amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Did that so well. I mean, yeah. Really?
I agree. I just went slow with that because I can get it when you're going slow.
I edited it.
Yeah, appropriately.
Well, yeah. Huh.
God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to assume a position that you do not have. Mm-hmm. This is covered on page 27. Flip forward to 27. We're going to have to, you know, we'll get
teacher,
there.
The manual.
Mm-hmm. Manual for teachers. So thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
27?
Yeah, this is a section called How is Judgment Relinquished? And you, how could you? Because judgment has become a way that you can sort out the good from the bad and kind of protect yourself and kind of weed your way through this life. But it's dishonest is the point of this paragraph. You're lying to yourself. The ego says, no, that's how I survive, is I've spent my whole life trying to figure out right from wrong, good from bad. I am finding evil so I can be holy, says the ego, spiritual ego. So, look at paragraph 2. Just skip to paragraph 2. The whole thing is great, but we're gonna have to press a little bit here. Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 2? I got your mute.
Okay. It is necessary for the teacher of God to realize not that he should not judge, but that he cannot. In giving up judgment, he is merely giving up what he did not have. He gives up an illusion, or better, he has an illusion of giving up. He is actually merely become more honest.
That was our word last week, you know, 2 weeks ago, honesty.
Recognizing that judgment was always impossible for him, he no longer attempts it. This is no sacrifice. On the contrary, he puts himself in a position where judgment through him rather than by him can occur. And this judgment is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is only one. God's Son is guiltless, and sin does not exist.
And remember, this is not judgment between, chocolate versus vanilla ice cream, or judgment whether a gas car is better for the environment than an electric car. This is not the kind of judgment we're talking about. Everything we talk about here is not of form. We use the words of form. It really helps you in the beginning to think in form, of course, because that's what you're so steeped. But as you progress in your Course in Miracles work, you have to recognize that everything here is a metaphor for your mind and for your judgments of being and your judgments of what otherwise you would call a soul is your brother, not the form that your brother is or the weapons or the deeds he has done or she has done in a body to hurt and maim or to birth and bless in the body. This is not our teaching. It's certainly not our final teaching. It may help you with our initial teaching as you enter into separating and sorting out the valuable from the valueless. Yes, indeed. That's why it's written the way that it is. It's amazingly clever. But you go beyond that pretty quickly when you recognize that the spiritual awakening is a journey into the invisible. The physical awakening, the body awakening, is a journey into the visible. It's time to return to the spiritual awakening so you can actually be free. You're tired. You're simply tired of making up this personal, private, what's turned out to be hell in this limited existence. Believe me, you're having a blast. Don't ever forget. You'll know you're having an absolute blast here, but you're tired. And love is calling you home for rest.
Andrew?
Yes.
So did I just understand, am I understanding you correctly, the saying, and we talked about judgment here. He's not talking about judgment of behavior, that in fact, he's not saying don't not to judge behavior.
On the level of bodies, that's, you leave that to your ego. You will learn to abandon your ego's ways, but this is not, but the Course is not asking you so quickly to suddenly drop your judgments of whether it's you should be a vegetarian or a Republican or a Democrat or, you know, believe in anything of the world. You don't have to change the world. You have to change your mind about the world. You don't change the world. You don't change yourself. Don, this is careful now. You don't change Don, egomaniac, in the world. Because you're not Don, egomaniac. There is no Don, egomaniac, in the world. There is a dream of Don in the world. Nothing good or bad can come from Don in the world.
So if I'm getting what you're saying, that is a total clarification for me.
Good.
So when Jesus says, seek not to change the world, but change your mind about the world, he's saying, don't even try to, well, there really isn't a distinction, I guess, but I'm going to say, don't just not change the world, but don't change Don, which is part of the world. In essence, he's just saying, don't change Don, because Don has an idea of what the world is.
Don't save Don.
Don't save Don. Don't try to change Don. Don't try to change your judgments that lead you to decisions that you've made and that you'll continue to make. All of a sudden, stop making those judgments. That's crazy making.
That would be very hard. It would be very hard and uncomfortable.
It's very hard, uncomfortable, and it feels disintegrating.
Yes, it would have to start out with a lie, see? Because you really do believe in Don's ways.
Yes.
What Don likes for dinner and what Don likes to watch on TV. All that is just these preferences and choices that have built up your entire life. And to try to judge is not that you shouldn't judge, it's that you cannot judge. The next paragraph is even more graphic. Emily, what you got? I got your mute. Go for it.
Oh, I was just recognizing the need for tolerance there.
Thank you.
Could you say more about that?
Teach us more.
Oh, I was recognizing I was walking on the beach, and I was having a moment of just feeling like that I could be happy because I don't dwell here, something like that. And yet, you know, I recognize there's some suffering here, but it's okay. It's not that it's okay. It's, I have compassion and tolerance for all that's going on here, but I'm not from here.
That's right. Remember page 257? I'll just tell you. You dwell not here, but in eternity. What a big hug. Emily, you do dwell, but just not here. You dwell in eternity. And you travel, okay? You're sure traveling, but you're traveling in dreams. While you, the actual you, are safe at home. So go for it. Don't take life too seriously. Ease up on the ideas of loss and death. Recognize that you, whatever you are not a body. You're not your ego. What a freeing thought, my dear. What a very freeing thought to share with us. No doubt. This is what a miracle is. It's a shift in perception that you own. And what follows from that shift in perception, like Emily is describing, you can see the everything's shifting there. She said, well, I see this differently now. What follows is forgiveness. What's forgiveness? Releasing your stinking thinking. Yes, the bad thoughts are returned tomorrow, but they'll be different now because you've had a shift in reality. You had a shift in identity. With what she said, she had a shift walking on the beach. She's got it. She got it. She owned it, if not for a moment, forever, to some degree. She's had a miracle. And now, if she would just hold that miracle as the truth that it is, it has to change her perspective slightly. So when judging thoughts come up, intolerant thoughts come up, you're like, it's taking this life too seriously. It's taking, making the dream real. This is it. This is what a spiritual awakening looks like. This is the gentle way. There are more radical ways, and they exist. You know that. This is your way. Step by step. Releasing, miracle, then releasing with forgiveness, and then recognizing the holy instant, like I think I felt it when she got it. That's the holy instant. That's a moment out of time. That's a moment out of the body, actually. That's a returning. I'll just use two words here that might be helpful to you. You're traveling, you're awakening from consciousness, Emily consciousness in this case, into awareness. Awareness does not perceive. Emily perceives. Handy distinction for what you happened to you. Awakening from consciousness, which is a level of perception, into awareness. Just one level up, still in mind.
So Andrew, okay, yes. I want to return to what we were talking about.
Good.
I read that paragraph two again some more, and so my big thing is, I don't know, you know, I was a liberal. I had liberal ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And supported a lot of progressive politics and candidates and stuff. And right now, the Democratic Party is going crazy, trying to their view is there's a battle between the wealth of Trump and corporations.
Can I interrupt you, Don?
Yeah.
Before we go into the political discussion, I want to get the second paragraph, the third paragraph out on page 27.
Okay.
You bring it back up what you were saying if you think it's appropriate.
It's just I want to get practical.
Emily, are we going to drop your hand or you want some more to say?
Oh, no, no.
Okay, you have to put your hand down. I don't know if I can do that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right. Let's get, Don, let's have you read on page 27, paragraph 3. Listen to this clarity. Listen to this. How is judgment, how can you who have judged your way into what you think is safety and happiness not judge in the way that we're describing, which is for your true identity, for your true happiness, and for, are you judging the being?
Okay.
Okay. Read 3 for us.
The aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is a recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. In order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things, past, present, and to come. One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone and everything involved in them in any way. And one would have to be certain there is no distortion in his perception so that his judgment would be wholly fair to everyone on whom it rests now and in the future. Who is in a position to do this? Who, except in grandiose fantasies, would claim this for himself?
Whoa. You talking to me? Yeah.
I totally get that. I totally get it. So I just, but then I thought when we were clarifying before, I really understand that. I don't know why there's so much pressure within me about those choices that seemed to be so easy before. I mean, you know, I just knew, oh, yeah, I support this. I don't support that. But now I realize I don't have the judgment to know to take any action, to make any quote-unquote choice. It's really, you know, so what do I do? What do I do instead?
Yep.
You know?
There's a key sentence on page 366 that tends to stop you in your tracks once you get to where you are right now with this utter honesty, and you're catching yourself. It's beautiful, Dawn. I thank you for pursuing that, what you were telling us. Turn to page 366 and look at this short little question on in the text, page 366. And it's a little guiding light that once you start, your Course in Miracles starts to be more, make more sense to you, and you really want to follow your awakening. How far does it go? Can I catch my ego more often? How do I do it? Well, look at paragraph 2, sentence 2. Well, sentence 1, really. In any situation, and then the word Dawn was in there because this book was really written for you, but it got deleted out for the rest of us so we could use it too. In any situation, Dawn, in which you are uncertain, the first thing to consider very simply is, what I want to come of this? And here's the key one. What is it for? What is this situation and these thoughts for? Now, careful now. Now that you begin an awakening path, now that you're taking responsibility for sight and for experience, now that you're willing to not change the world, but change your mind about the world, now what is this for? Whatever it is, any situation that comes up in your life, you can now call the Holy Spirit with that short question. It just makes you reset. What a great way to do it. You see the light, Don. The light has come to you. And now it's a matter of remembering to turn your light on when things start to get dark. The other way to describe it from the positive is that now that you have, everybody here has had an awakening, if not many, and you have gone from dark to light by your own decision. You see how that changes everything? You now, everybody here who's studying Course in Miracles knows you don't have to go outside to get freedom. Now, that's the good news and the bad news, I know, but you now know it. And so really, this is the truth. It's hard to take, but you're actually not going anywhere. Your task now is not to leave the peace that you know is true. See? You now know it, see? Gig is up. You very quickly deny it and go back into the ego thinking, but part of you is awake. Part of you knows you're free. So that's why it says in the workbook, it says, why not today? Because he knows. He's the same mind, the author of this book, your mind. But you're continuing to, how does he phrase it? To, you're redreaming the dream. You're visiting the dream again and again and again and again. Dream is long since over, but you're redreaming it. I think it's lesson 158. He mentions that little inconvenient truth. You actually are. So your job, if you're ready for it, is not to move away from the freedom that you have recognized. For an instant, it may have only been an instant. I know some people who they've had a flash of freedom and they said, wow, and they haven't had it again for years. But they allowed themselves that freedom for a moment and it shone more brightly than their entire life of misery. It doesn't leave. It can't be taken away from you. It was your true nature that for a moment came, you let time go for a moment. You went into an interval of timelessness and you felt free. And you can't deny it, right? You can't deny it. It's there. It happened. You were free. And it didn't come from the outside. You see what a sticky thicket you're in? I'll say it again. You remain allegiant, devoted. Okay, devoted. You remain devoted to something that you know that's not true. But now you know it's not true, see? Thank you, Course in Miracles. You had a miracle. You had a sense of freedom that can't ever be taken away. Okay. Let's go back to page 12 and dig in some more on this paragraph while we still have time. Okay, this whole judgment thing is a theme of, let's call it repair, that runs throughout A Course in Miracles. And so it's worth looking at a little bit. Hold your finger here. We're going to come right back in a minute. We need to go to the workbook, page 167. So turn back about 100 pages or so in your book into the middle of the workbook. And this is lesson 95, but it's on page 167 in your workbook. Remember, the big challenge here is how do you stop doing what you're so accustomed to doing? How do you stop an addiction? How do you stop relying on the ways of the world and the ego that you think so for so long have made you happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, but not actually happy and not actually wise, it turns out, huh? How do you do it? How do you abandon the ways of the ego? Jesus will weigh in now here for just a couple of paragraphs. Emily, would you read for us? Are you okay reading tonight?
I'm sorry, I don't have my book.
Okay. Everybody, would you work on forgiving Emily for not having her book? We just try to forgive her. We'll see how it turns out, Emily. I don't know. Okay, Ross. I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 8 on workbook 167?
The Holy Spirit is not delayed in his teaching by your mistakes.
I think you read that again because I know you love that. I know you love that concept.
The Holy Spirit is not delayed in his teaching by your mistakes. He can be held back only by your unwillingness to let them go. Let us therefore be determined, particularly for the next week or so, to be willing to forgive ourselves for our lapses in diligence and our failures to follow the instructions for practicing the day's ideas. This tolerance for weakness will enable us to overlook it rather than give it power to delay our learning. If we give it power to do this, we are regarding it as strength and are confusing strength with weakness.
And Louanne, would you read for us paragraph 9, please?
When you fail to comply with the requirements of this course, you have merely made a mistake. This calls for correction and for nothing else. To allow a mistake to continue is to make additional mistakes based on the first and reinforcing it. It is a process that must be laid aside, for it is but another way in which you would defend illusions against the truth.
You really have to step out of your stinking thinking and trust that there is another way. Kenny, you up to bat for number 10? Got a surprise paragraph for you.
You know, I've had a perfect reading. And
you did. It was amazing. I'm astounded, frankly. It was perfect.
Yes. I'll be waiting when you record them all.
Yeah, I will. I'm stringing them together. Kenny's A Course in Miracles.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, Jacqueline, would you read for us? I'll get your mute. Got it. Would you read for us paragraph 10?
Okay. Let all these errors go by recognizing them for what they are. They are attempts to keep you unaware you are one self, united with your Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. This is the truth, and nothing else is true. Today we will affirm this truth again and try to reach the place in you in which there is no doubt that only this is true.
And then would you also, Jacqueline, read us those italics at the bottom of the page?
I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace.
Everybody look at that. Breathe that in for a moment. This is a day of celebration when you do this. This is your true nature. What good news. Totally not talking about your body and your ego. But your true nature. This is such a celebration. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation. And I am limitless in power and in peace. What a sentence.
Well, I think then the answer to what I was hearing Don ask is, what am I if I'm not this judgmental person? This is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to say I am when you're questioning where you're going to go when you realize it.
Yeah.
Well, it sure applies to me because I've been feeling awful about who I am recently.
Well, that's, I hope so.
Well, thank you.
Because you're an egomaniac.
Yes, I am.
And it's time to give that up. You should feel horrible about being an egomaniac.
I should feel horrible about being something that I am, huh?
No, because because you know that that's not what you really are. It's what you think you are. It's something you believe that's not true. So you have to drop the beliefs that aren't true. Just like the addict thinks that the drug makes them happy. Wait a minute. If you just step back a little bit, the drug's making your life miserable. And it's expensive?
I guess what I'm saying is when I read this, that sentence, I am one self, united, etc.
Yes.
That makes me feel good.
Yes.
And it makes me feel like I can drop all the rest of it because then I know what I really am.
That's it. That's a miracle. A shift in perception about your identity. Now you can celebrate. Let that light guide Luann's living and not the ego. That's your goal.
Mm-hmm.
When you find yourself in the dark, look for the light. This is a light. That sentence is a light. And you know it works for you because it just did. So there is a light that will work in any darkness your ego can come up with. You have access to it. because you studied this book and that sentence makes sense. You like, you're actually celebrating the truth in it. This is the gift that is given you. Kenny, let me get your mute here. Go.
So I am judging myself about that sentence in italics.
Okay.
I judge it. Say, why am I judging it?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yes.
Why am I judging it?
Now, Kenny, you could ask why. That's the way the ego approaches things with analysis.
Right.
Or much better, ask how. How are you judging it? What is happening in your mind, in your choices right now, as you read it? Not from the past or anywhere else. How you're judging it.
Not worthy.
Not worthy. Yeah. That's how.
That's how.
Does this book call you worthy or unworthy of being the Son of God?
Well, the ego got in the way. It sure did.
It did. But you know that your guide... Your guide says, not only are you worthy, but you do things greater than me. You are God's joy. You are God's peace. And you, this is what this book says, that you are in truth. Kenny is unworthy. The character Kenny, the egomaniac, small thinking, angry, jealous, fearful, guilty man that has grown up with the label Kenny, is a character in a dream of loss.
Right.
But you're not Kenny.
My true identity is me.
That's right. And you're here.
Yeah.
Hang on to me, buddy. You're here. Kenny is not. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. Without my name, all the judgment's gone.
Hello?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you here?
Yes.
Kenny is a dream.
Yeah.
That you're managing here. You see, right. Kenny's not here until you remember what he cares about.
Yeah. Okay.
You are here. Mm-hmm. That's the paradox that you get more comfortable with as you continue this journey that you are well on. You can be in the world now, but not of the world, because you have spent a few moments in freedom outside the identity of being a body. It's occurred to you. It's occurred to you. Now, it's to make a new habit, if you will. It's hard, you know, because the world is so physical and it competes for your comfort and so forth. But it doesn't change the challenge that I and Course in Miracles and Jesus are offering you, that you celebrate with all of the love that you can afford with these words. I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. And let that be your song. Let that be your guide. Let that be the truth. And you just allow that to be true. Set aside any doubt of the limits of Kenny. And say, you know, I am one self at one with my creator, limitless in power and in peace, because I am as God created me. That just should fill your heart. I don't know how you can keep the tears from flowing when you admit the truth. You are precious.
So you could say, I am not a body or ego.
Yes, that's correct.
I am free.
Amen. Ego is a made up thought system so that you can follow body identity. and abide and be busy with body separate identity. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, I think what happens for me is when I read this, I'm one self, united with my creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. I have a desire to experience that within the framework of what I have known and believed myself to be. And that's not the framework in which I experience it. And that, within that framework, then, I feel bad if I'm not.
Woo!
If I'm not doing my lessons.
Paradox.
Loving. So it's like, somehow, I guess.
We got a challenge.
Be able, you know, more and more, I guess, just surrendering and letting go.
You know, Jacqueline, what you have is what the Course in Miracles calls the gap. Buddha said, somehow you got to go the middle way. And it's a razor's edge difference between the material and the spiritual, the free and the unfree. Razor's edge. Course in Miracles, I think, is way more clear than Buddhism. I love Buddhism. I have spent time studying it, but I thought, oh my God, this is just written out. Isn't it this mystery stuff that I found in Zen? You want to see where it says it just in black and white before you can even appreciate it? Turn to the front of the book. You can drop this page 167. Turn to the front of the book, and it's time once again to look at Miracle Principle 17. Because it says it black and white in one sentence. And you're like, what? And you keep reading. Well, now it's time to go back and see the step that you stood on for a moment. Number 17. Jacqueline, read for us Miracle Principle 17 and see the challenge that is laid before you in your awakening.
Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal. And that's why the holy incense are so joyful.
Bingo.
And also, you know, I use the word framework. Well, framework, that's so ego, right? Brain, a lot of work.
Right.
Keep working now.
Yep, trying to limit and analyze. Look at number 20. Read 20 for us also.
Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle.
Once again, it's a movement into the invisible. There's a gap because you know things that are visible. You got a name and a place and all the things you think about and people and things that you love. And there's no problem with that. It's just that we need to find a way to make a departure from that as your identity. This is a challenge laid before you. You can feel it. You know that you're not free in the body dimension, and you know that you are free in the spirit dimension. You have touched it with the miracle. You've touched it with the holy instant.
I think that's when we read that little italics in 267. It felt so good because I thought, I can do this if I don't have a Luann.
That's right. You got it. It's a beautiful promise. Jacqueline, keep reading for us, number 29 and 30.
Miracles praise God through you. They praise him by honoring his creations, affirming their perfection. They heal because they deny body identification and affirm spirit identification.
And notice the word perfection is in there. Don't you ache for consistency of perfection so you can just rest in perfect beauty? That would be nice. That would be nice. Read 30.
By recognizing spirit, miracles adjust the levels of perception and show them in proper alignment. This places the spirit at the center, where it can communicate directly.
Yes. And now you are abiding with the Holy Spirit instead of the unholy spirit. Isn't that great? Right there in the miracle principles in the very front of the book. But how could you possibly understand that? But there it is in writing. Okay.
So how do you engage in the pleasures or the bodily pleasures of life? Do you just bring joy to them? Is that how you...
Whatever you engage with in the bodily pleasures of life, when you do it with a perspective of the Holy Spirit, it is now a true joining. Whereas when you do it with perspective of the ego, it is done with a sense of lack and specialness, so that when you have a pleasure of the body from the ego perspective, it's fleeting and it's special and it's something that you can lose. So you better grab it while you can. So it starts to ruin the experience, actually. But with the Holy Spirit's perspective, any pleasure you would have from the body is now no longer a special event that you have to capture and that you could lose. Rather, anything you could experience is now for your gain. It's a subtle point, but my point is lack disappears, which means fear disappears, which means when you do engage in something pleasurable from the body, you're no longer doing it to gain or to keep. See, you're more free to experience it and to share it because lack is gone. Fear is gone. And this is the big difference with your awakening. Tolerance. You're actually more able to enjoy more varieties of physical pleasure because you're more tolerant of things that otherwise you would have had to object to.
So I think what I heard you're saying is we can watch a movie and we can say how much fun that was. And then we walk out and we realize we had a moment of fun sitting with whoever we were sitting with, watching the movie, but we don't need to have that anymore.
That's correct. You could say, seen it. I'm going to watch another movie. In fact, I might devote it to never watching this kind of movie ever again, freely. That's true. That's true. Okay. Look at, hang on a second. Let me check my reference here real quick. Go to text 493. Look at paragraph 17. We'll get into some graphic language here for a minute. You really have to be able to see through what otherwise was lack. And so I think we're back around to Luann. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 17 on 493 in the text?
How can some forms of murder not mean death? Can attack in any form be love? What form of condemnation is a blessing? Who makes his Savior powerless and finds salvation? Let not the form of attack on him deceive you. You cannot seek to harm him and be saved. Who can find safety from attack by turning on himself? How can it matter what the form this madness takes? It is a judgment that defeats itself, condemning what it says it wants to save. Be not deceived when sadness takes a form you think is lovely. What is intent on your destruction is not your friend.
Try tolerance instead. Try tolerance.
When you do it to yourself, which is what I find I do often, when you do it to yourself, that you need to be tolerant of yourself and realize it's just a dream that
yes.
You can let go of. Is that true?
Yes. It is a dream that you can let go of, especially if it's eating at you. If you have a sense of existential loss or sadness, or it's a barrier to your happiness, this is a dream. This is a dream of a limit. The gift of A Course in Miracles is empowering your mind to bring you back to the ability to choose not only peace, but we got to start with peace, but to choose peace rather than war. other than loss. Even as you may have to do something in the body level to make order, you may have to do some tough love event with your children, or maybe you're a police officer and somebody's running around with a gun, and your job is to stop them. That's your character. You can do that in peace. You're probably more effective to do it with a peaceful state of mind. You're probably more accurate in your moves, doing less damage if you come at it with a peaceful perspective. Fear makes you sloppy. But most importantly, as you come from a realistic understanding of what's really going on, and it's the invisible, folks, not the visible. You can play in the visible, work in the visible, and have a blast in the visible as you put that criminal behind bars.
Or be miserable in the invisible, and not be not invisible.
Or you could be absolutely miserable with the visible as you put the criminal behind bars and second guess yourself and question and doubt. And you will have to start questioning God and love and the existence of love if you seek your rest and your happiness here in the world. But as we were describing with Emily, if you choose, and with Kenny, if you choose to step for even a moment, doesn't take a week or an hour, even a minute, but a moment, to step for a moment away from your consciousness, that's the character that you see in the mirror, and abide in awareness. Awareness does not perceive. That's a big clue, okay? It's a big clue of how to move away from the character in the dream, your ego self. Move away from that just for a moment. It's all it takes. But you'll find a sense of freedom. You find the sense of energy, the sense of being that is not the body. You stumble into it with a holy instant. When your miracle says, wow, I thought that person was attacking me and arguing with me and swearing my name up and down and trying to get my money and so forth. But actually they were afraid because they were unhappy and they thought their life was falling apart and I was involved. All that screaming that they were doing is actually a call for love on their part. They don't feel love. It's not even about me. Yes, I'm there. Yes, they're trying to pin it on me. I got it. But it's not about me, is it? They are feeling that they are losing, or they've been unfairly treated and they're afraid of losing more. It's a call for love. It's not an attack. It's not even hate. This is your journey to reconciling that love is everywhere. You must do this. Then you will find yourself free. You start to have more fun. You see love everywhere. Become more tolerant because everybody is on their path to manifest and to receive love. This is your tolerance. It's like, okay, you go for it. You go for that love. It's not the way I would go, but I know what you're after. This is your gift of the perspective of tolerance. Look at on page 12 in the Manual for Teachers, which paragraph we're studying. We have just enough time to read one sentence extra on that paragraph, number 7. So what we're trying to do is to drop the judgment as this tool that will somehow make you more loving, right? No, let's go the other way. Let's go to open-mindedness here. Let's go to tolerant and work with what you're dealing with instead. Number 7. let this be lost, and all his learning goes. Whoa, did you see that? You see what he slipped in there? When you're tolerant of what you're observing, when you see calls for love and let that be a learning experience rather than a rejection experience or a judgment experience, but let it be instead a learning experience. Ah, you found yet another way to love, haven't you? To heal. You found a way to hear the Holy Spirit. Learning. Another quote from this beautiful book that I just love. I should paint it on my wall. Learning is living here, comma, just as creating is being in heaven. Learning is living here. That's your substitute. That's what you're left with. But it's a blast. It's a blast. Come on. Learning is a blast, and you know it. So that's living here in this limited thing that you've carved out, but it's a blast. Just like creating is a blast in heaven, and that's what being is in heaven. It's a wonderful sentence. We'll study it again some other night. I'll bring you back to that. Without judgment, are all things equally acceptable? Thank you, Jesus. What can imagine if everything was equally acceptable to you as you went through your life? Equally acceptable, even though it's ugly and you're going to stop it. But it's acceptable because, after all, this is a dream, and it's an adventure that you have taken into separation, not a rebirth into separation. You are not a body. You actually are free, and you remain forever as God created you. So be tolerant of this educational amusement park that you have made. Enjoy it a little more. Take life less seriously. You will find it is easier to navigate. Okay, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. The very important work that we do together. Thank you, everybody, for teaching.